Well, along with all the craziness going on in my life right now, I had a sermon that I was going to give yesterday, and suddenly a bunch of things came in, and so it's a different sermon than what I was going to preach at noon yesterday. Because this is a week where the world has felt devastated by the horrific attacks by Hamas on Israel. And I want to share with you a perspective that we're not getting on the news. I met Gabor Maté at a psychology lecture up in an ongoing education event up in Bellingham some years ago, and I read some of his books. He's a world-renowned trauma specialist, and as a young person, as an infant, as a child, he survived Auschwitz. So he speaks as a Jew, but he speaks about the problem of the Jews and the Palestinians. And George is going to play a clip that's about 5 minutes long.
I think anybody who sees it will be deeply moved by Gabor Maté's wisdom and truth.
But I'm personally a Holocaust survivor as an infant. I barely survived. My grandparents were killed in Auschwitz. And most of my extended family was killed. I became a Zionist. This dream of the Jewish people resurrected in their historical homeland, and the barbed wire of Auschwitz being replaced by the boundaries of a Jewish state with a powerful army. And then I found out that it wasn't exactly like that. That in order to make this Jewish dream a reality, we had to visit a nightmare on the local population. And there's no way you could have ever created a Jewish state without oppressing and expelling the local population. Jewish Israeli historians have shown without a doubt that the expulsion of the Palestinians was persistent, it was pervasive, it was cruel, it was murderous, and with deliberate attempt. So that's what's called the Nakba in Arabic, the disaster or the catastrophe. There's a law that you cannot deny the Holocaust. But in Israel, you're not allowed to mention the Nakba, even though it was at the very basis of the foundation of the state. I visited the occupied territories, Russell, during the first Intifada. I cried every day for 2 weeks at what I saw. The brutality of the occupation, the petty harassment, the murderousness of it, or cutting down of Palestine olive groves, the denial of water rights, the humiliations. And this went on, and it's much worse now than it was then. It's the longest ethnic cleansing operation in the 20th and 21st centuries. I could land in Tel Aviv tomorrow and demand citizenship under the right law of the right of return. But my Palestinian friend in Vancouver, Hana Kawas, who was born in Jerusalem, can't even visit. Now, if I have the right to return after 2,000 years, how come Hana hasn't got the right to return after 70 years? So then you have these miserable people packed into this horrible, people call it the world's largest outdoor prison, which is what it is. You don't have to support Hamas policies to stand up for Palestinian rights. That's a complete falsity. If you take the worst thing you can say about Hamas, multiply it by 1,000 times, and it still will not meet the Israeli repression and killing and dispossession of Palestinians. Anybody who criticizes Israel is an anti-Semite is simply an egregious attempt to intimidate good non-Jews who are willing to stand up for what is true. If you look at the Western press, when Hong Kong demonstrators throw stones at the police in Hong Kong, that's considered to be heroism. When in Myanmar, the demonstrators throw slingshots at the army, at the oppressive army, they're considered to be heroes in the Western press. When Palestinian kids throw stones at the Israeli soldiers, they're called terrorists. And Israel gets away with a lot more without much less criticism in the Western press than any other country. He runs a program for Palestinian children who spend time in Israeli jails. 14, 15, 16-year-olds are jailed for months or years. Sometimes they can't see their families for months. If she says, we don't have post-traumatic stress disorder here because the trauma is never post. The trauma is daily, she said. If he's got any ounce of humanity left, he would cry like I did for 2 weeks when I was there. Anybody can go on YouTube and listen to Ilan Pappe, an Israeli historian. Anybody can listen to Norman Finkelstein, a Jewish professor, world expert on Gaza, who was denied tenure at his university because of his public speaking against Israeli policy. You can listen to any number of Israeli Defense Forces soldiers who talk about the brutality that they now regret having committed. You can listen to Israeli pilots who talk about why they refuse to fly over Gaza because of the atrocities they're made to commit. You can get all the information you want. So if anybody these days doesn't know, it's not because the information is not available. And none of that excuses not knowing truth and this deliberate attempt to silence anybody who speaks, Jewish or non-Jewish. And I really wish that non-Jews of goodwill would stand up against the calumny and not be intimidated by this charge of anti-Semitism. I really wish that. And it's not a question of being pro-Palestinian. It's a question of are you in favor of justice and liberty and freedom and truth, or are you not?
I encourage you to look up more of his YouTubes if you're interested in more information about that. So when we get all this bad news from Israel and Palestine and different places in the world, what do we do? How do we respond? And this is another thing that came to me just yesterday that I wanted to share with you. And George is going to put a picture up there. This is a woman, I think the larger of the two women is the woman who's speaking, and I don't know her name. She doesn't say it in the clip. I am Jewish. My neighbor Zahia is Palestinian Muslim. Today, I brought her baklava, a homemade tea blend, and homemade soap, and a large orchid. She took me into her arms, and we cried together. We talked for a long, long time. Her husband served me Arabic coffee, and she served me stuffed grape leaves. They sent me home with more grape leaves, lamb for Greg, a kafeya, and their last bag of cardamom coffee from Palestine. They talked about how nice Greg is for shoveling their snow. She said she would make kanafeh, my favorite Palestinian dessert, for me. Stop making change theoretical and abstract. It is knocking on neighbors' doors and sharing coffee and sweets. It is telling each other's stories. It's heart to heart, neighbor to neighbor. We are all human. We all want a place to call home, and for our babies and grandmothers to be safe. Peace begins with me. Those are the words of the Israeli woman after her visit to the neighbor who is Muslim. This is also a week where the Pickford Theater in Bellingham, which is the only art theater for a long way around, showed A Town Called Victoria. It's the story of an arson attack on a Muslim mosque in a quiet Texan town just a little bit southwest of Houston. I thought once again of our Muslim neighbors in our communities. In the small town of Victoria, a few hours from Houston, the mosque was burned, 2:00 in the morning. The response of the community was remarkable. By the time the building was in complete flames, most of the Muslims were called and were all there, standing, watching, crying together, and many other people in the town. The leaders of the mosque announced that, I forget if it was the next day or a day after, but within a couple of days, that there would be a special service on the site. And hundreds of people, they didn't know if anybody would come. Hundreds and hundreds of people came. And it was so comforting to those people who had lost their mosque. But not only that, their sense of safety. Was this an accident or was it arson? Was it targeted? And by the way, it happened days after Trump did his Muslim ban. But unfortunately, one of the members of the Muslim community said, we need to get in touch with the insurance right away. And the other fellow said, we don't have insurance. I don't know the reason for that. But one of the townspeople heard about that and decided to start a GoFundMe campaign. Within 3 days, there was more than $1 million that had been given to rebuild this mosque, which was much of it from the town, but it went much farther than the town. The Jewish rabbi offered them the keys to the synagogue so they could worship there. Other faith leaders showed up with support. Many people hoped and prayed that it had been an accident, but in fact, when the federal authorities came in and investigated, they discovered that there was an accelerant that had made the fire go quickly, and that indeed it was arson. There are another two parts to that story. The Pickford only showed the first of, I'm not sure if it was three or four parts, and I don't know the outcome of the story, but just from the tenor of what I did hear, I'm looking forward to hearing it. I just heard it last night. I haven't had a chance to watch the rest of it. It's on PBS, if you're interested in watching it. Do you have a Jewish or a Palestinian neighbor or business person that you have reached out to or that you could reach out to? I recall a couple of decades ago, and I can't remember what the brouhaha was in the Middle East and the negativity that was put onto Muslims. I went to the bank and there was a man there who, I can't remember how I identified he was of that origin, but I asked him how he was doing and told him how sorry I was of what was happening there. And he was so appreciative of that and did say that he'd had a couple of rather negative comments. So we don't know when we're going to bump into somebody. It might be at a bus stop. It might be in the supermarket. It might be in the bank. Just that little moment where we have an opportunity to reach out and be compassionate and loving. This is a week when I got this message from Guatemala from my friend Ellen Finn, who lives there. She's been in Honduras and Guatemala for over 17 years now, working with villagers, trying to empower them and building schools and creating gardens and doing all kinds of things. Her organization is called buenosvecinos.org. But now her organization is in danger because of the threat of civil war. In her words, "Hi friends, do you get news up there about Guatemala? We're on the precipice of what could be called a civil war again. I was in the coup in Honduras, but I've never seen people mobilizing like this before. 80% of the population is against the government, who won't kick out the corrupt main four politicos. The current government and rich businesses are trying also to frame the new president-elect, who is great, and won by a landslide. Juan and I are sending great quantities of food and water to protesters in the cities. Blockades are everywhere. Cars around San Pedro are announcing, calling for everyone in the town to go to the city tomorrow. Here and in small towns and rural areas, there's no food due to the blockades, no gasoline. Stores are closed, restaurants are closed, gas stations are closed. Police are now armed and poised in the cities against mostly indigenous folks fighting for fair policies and actions. Yesterday, I paid for two buses to take folks into the cities. I'm sending large quantities of food for the protesters. Not sure what else I can do other than keep this up. Pray for us." This is a woman my age who should be comfortably retired somewhere in Whatcom County or Skagit County. She's from this area. Not everyone is called to be a saint like I consider Ellen to be. It is her calling, not yours, not mine. It didn't start out this way. It started out much smaller, and little by little it grew. The times, they are a-changing, in the words of the old pundit. The world is much more crowded, and as my esteemed professor said over 50 years ago, when you put too many rats in a cage, the rats will start fighting. Resources are being stretched. The earth seems to be crying out to us in desperation to get our attention and responsive action. Racial and economic studies have shown when power and money is concentrated in a small sector of the population, resulting in poverty and eventual outrage in other parts of the population. Eventually, it's going to erupt. No big surprise. History bears this out. So Wendell Berry's granddaughters went to the Holocaust Museum, and he wrote this to them afterwards. It's called Now You Know the Worst. Now you know the worst we humans have to know about ourselves, and I am sorry, for I know that you will be afraid. To those of our bodies given without pity to be burned, I know there is no answer but loving one another, even our enemies. And this is hard. But remember, when a man of war becomes a man of peace, he gives a light divine, though it is also human. When a man of peace is killed by a man of war, he gives a light. You do not have to walk in darkness. If you will have the courage for love, you may walk in light. It will be the light of those who have suffered for peace. It will be your light. And finally, I want to turn over the microphone to Matthew Cook, who just came into my feed last night, and I was stunned. We'll listen to the last half of his talk, which I think is pretty powerful. George is going to put that on now.
Humankind must be aware of our karma, which could be interpreted simply as that which we hate, we become. And that which we love, loves us back. All the wisdoms of the world, practiced as prescribed, create harmony among all the families of the earth. And it should go without saying that there's nothing, nothing that could ever justify killing or kidnapping a child, or civilians, or evicting a family from their home, or bombing a building, or seizing land someone is living on already, or voting for leaders or tax dollars to finance these kinds of crimes, or the weapons that are used to commit them, or contribute in any way to the suffering of anyone because of where their family was born or what their religion is, when there's clearly no difference between any of our religions or our families. Let us celebrate and respect our differences, especially and most of all those that we do not understand or are none of our business. The nature of this universe and that which has true authority over it and our little world is certainly not perceived in the judgments of any of us, its tiny, near clueless, temporary guests. A wise elder once said that we do not have the divine wisdom to know what came before or what comes after, nor what is within nor outside the object of our judgments. May we focus on the job we have in front of us, which, among other things at this time, is to always speak and act and vote against violence and against all those sins so clearly described by our mothers and fathers. May we devote ourselves to peace outwardly and inwardly, for as long as there is war in ourselves, there will be war in the world. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's my bad Arabic, which means peace be upon you. And may that unfathomable oneness, which is everything and encompasses everything, precedes, postdates, and surrounds and is within us all, bless you in every aspect of your life.
In this week and at this time, our poor world needs us more than at any other time in our history, our living history. Do we have the courage to step into the fray in small ways, a word, a smile, a kind gesture, or in large ways? It's a time we individually and collectively must think outside the box. I think that's one of the keys. We need to look outside the box and contribute to the rebirth and healing of the world. Can we do that? I believe we can. Amen, and blessed be.